This morning, if you would please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. We're going to begin at verse 18, and we'll read through chapter 6 and verse 4. So Ephesians, chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse number 18. And here the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage and for all the passages that we'll look at today. And thank you for the home and for the opportunity we have to be a part of a home. We pray, God, that you will guide and direct in our homes and help us to be what you intended the home to be. I do ask you to help me as I speak today. Give me wisdom to know what to say and help my thoughts and words to be yours, Lord. And I also pray that each one of us would listen very carefully and hear what you have for us today. Bless, please, the sermon. And may it speak to our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are giving you lesson number 3 or sermon number 3 in this short little series that I call The Bible Speaks About. And we talked about, in the first one, the Bible speaks about itself. Last week we talked about the Bible speaks about, do you remember? I'm checking to see if you remember because I forgot. Christian growth. Thank you, Brother Tom. I already forgot that. I don't forget what it said, but I don't remember the title. Hope you'll give me some leeway on that. And the third, you know, all the sermons that I have to deliver in a week, it's hard to remember everything. But today we want to talk about the home. The Bible speaks about the home, and I'm sure that you're aware of this. A couple of things. Number one, the home is under attack today. The devil wants to destroy the home, and especially the Christian home. He's doing his very best to destroy it and to divide it and so forth. We should do our very best not to let that happen. But there are also a lot of different places that you can go to get advice about home life. Some of it is biblical, some of it is not biblical. I would encourage all of us to get our advice about the home, and especially the Christian home, get our advice from the Bible. Get our advice from what God says. So it's important for us to know. Now, as we look at what the Bible says today, and I have several thoughts I want to give you, the first thing I want to talk about is how it all began. So the Bible reveals to us the origin of the home. And I'm not going to go back to the book of Genesis. You might assume that I would do that. And normally I would do that. But today I want to take you back to the book of Matthew. By the way, don't lose Ephesians 5, because I am coming back there. But look with me at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, 5, and 6. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, 5, and 6. And the reason I'm not going back to Genesis is because this passage refers to that one. All right? Matthew 19, verse 4, 5, and 6. And he, that's Jesus, and he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Just two genders, you see that, right? He made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. By the way, Ephesians passage that we started with today, that also referenced that. Wherefore, verse 6, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Notice again, the end of verse 6. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I want to suggest to you this morning that marriage and family are a part of God's plan. It's something that God devised. It's something that God is the one who originated it. He's the origin. He and his plans are the origin of the home. Marriage and family are part of God's plan and God's provision. Wait a minute now. For the good of the human race. For the good of the human race. As the homes in America are being destroyed by the devil and those who are helping him, as the homes are being destroyed, America is suffering. Because a good, solid Christian home is good for the human race. It's helpful. It gives us stability. It gives us an anchor. It gives us something that's very, very important as far as our society is concerned. Marriage and family are a part of God's plan and God's provision for the good of the human race. Marriage and family are part of God's plan and provision for the stability of our society. One of the biggest problems we have today, especially in the bigger cities, in the inner cities of those big cities, one of the biggest problems we have is that homes are being destroyed. And there might have been someone there, just giving one example, there might have been someone there to help create a child. And we would think of this person as the dad or the father. But in many homes in the inner cities of our big cities, dad is not there. He's not present. He's not involved. Many times, mom is still there, and sometimes even mom is not there like she ought to be and all involved, of course. But the more we see that, the more problems we have with drugs and crime and so many other ills that are plaguing our society today. The good, solid Christian home that God has devised has a man as the father and as the dad, as the husband, and then, of course, a woman as the wife and the mother, and then children, if God permits. That all makes up that good Christian home that God initially devised, okay? When God made all that we see made in the book of Genesis, we see Adam and Eve, right? By the way, did you notice it's not Adam and Steve, right? It's Adam and Eve, okay? A man and a woman, and that man and that woman married to one another, living together, building a home together. That's God's plan that it would be for life. That's God's plan. Now, I know someone quickly might think, well, Pastor, don't you recognize that divorce happens? Sure, I don't have my head in the sand. I realize that divorce happens. I'm just saying that's God's original plan, that one man and one woman would be married to one another and live together and build a home together for life. That's God's plan. Now, if that's somehow been interrupted because of different things that have happened beyond your control, you know, I feel bad for you, and I encourage you to ask God's forgiveness and to do your best from this day forward, okay? But that's still God's original plan. Just because things have gotten messed up in our world today doesn't mean that God's word has changed or God's plan has changed. God's word and God's plan still say the same thing. And that's God's original plan. So when God was finished making Adam and Eve, he put them together as the very first family. By the way, did you notice? We didn't go back there, but you've read it before. In the book of Genesis, when God was all finished, he said it was very good. Very good. This is the origin of the home. It's not man's making. It's God's making. It's God's. He's the one who originated the home. So number one, the Bible reveals the origin of the home. Number two, the Bible also contains principles which are meant to safeguard the home. The Bible contains principles which are meant to safeguard the home. The Bible contains many principles which, when followed, will guard and protect the health and well-being of the home and those within it. I'll just give you a few examples very, very quickly. Number one, the Bible speaks about the commitment that a man and a woman are to make to each other in their wedding vows, and those wedding vows are to be kept until death. Now, I'm not going to belabor that. I've already talked about it some. I'll just give you one example very quickly. My wife, Sarah, and I, she's sitting on the first row. I'm up here behind the pulpit, of course. And we made a promise to one another when we got married that when things got difficult, oh, Pastor, you mean you thought ahead of time that things might get difficult? Yeah, because I've watched other marriages go through difficulties. I was pretty sure it was going to happen, and it has happened. We've had some issues, you know. I mean, we've had some real Donnybrooks. Sarah and I just knocked down, drag out. And then eventually I got up, you know, but she says, that's one. No, we haven't had any fisticuffs or anything like that. I mean that. But you know, you have disagreements and you don't see everything eye to eye. And you have to understand, you take a girl from one home, and in our case, in one area of the country, and you take a boy from another home in another area of the country, and you put them together in one household, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be things that we don't see eye to eye about. But see, as a couple, as a hopefully a loving couple, you talk through these things, you work through these things, and you solve those disagreements. I want to get back to what I was saying. We agreed when we first got married that divorce would not be an option. We were going to work through it, whatever it was. And to God's credit, this year in September, we'll celebrate 50 years together. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. But see, we made a commitment to each other. Now again, if you've already gone through a divorce and you're with someone else now, ask God's forgiveness for the past and do better from this day forward and make that commitment. We're not going to let that happen again. We're going to try to follow God's plan. We're going to try to do what we know is right according to the Bible. The Bible speaks about the commitment that a man and a woman are to make to each other in their wedding vows. Remember it says, doesn't it, in most wedding vows, till death us do part? Now I know there's going to be days when you're going to think, man, I could kill him. But that's not what it's referring to, is it? Till death us do part, see? So that commitment to one another, and that's supposed to be kept until death. Second principle, and again, just a couple, the Bible speaks about the matter of sexual purity that the husband and wife are to practice both before and during their marriage. We're living in a world today where sexual purity is a thing of the past to some people. But believe it or not, friend, if you're here today and you're single, you're supposed to save yourself for that future husband or future wife. You're supposed to save yourself for that future wife or future husband. That's God's plan. That relationship, that physical relationship between a husband and a wife is meant for that, the husband and the wife. Not before you get married. And by the way, not outside of marriage with somebody else. It's supposed to be just for the two of you who've been united in physical marriage. In legal marriage. That's what God's plan is. So that matter of sexual purity, that's the husband and the wife practicing that together during their marriage. And so that means that, like in our case, Sarah's supposed to be faithful to me. I'm supposed to be faithful to her. And I can honestly say this, we have been throughout all these 50 years, almost 50 years now, right? But that's the commitment that we made, see? That's the commitment that we made to one another. And it matches up with what Scripture says. And then a third thing I wanted to mention is, as far as principles, the Bible speaks about the proper training and disciplining of children in the family. The proper training and disciplining of children in the family. God gave us four girls, and we didn't have any boys that we know of, but we had four girls, and we did our very best to raise them in a Christian home with Christian values and teach them and train them how to live for God and do what's right and serve the Lord and love each other and all that kind of thing. Now, you and I know this, when our children grow up and they move out of the home and they get married themselves and have their own families and all that, they're not under your control anymore. And so sometimes they make decisions that maybe you wouldn't agree with. But you know what? They're going to have to answer for that because they're adults now. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that sometimes. Because I think, man, if they'd asked me about that, I would have said, no, don't do that. But see, they're adults, so that's... they're on their own now. They're going to have to answer for that. And by the way, they'll have to actually deal with the circumstances that come about because of their decisions. That's on them. That's not on me anymore. You know, sometimes Sarah and I will talk about our girls and we'll think about things, you know, and you've heard before and I've heard before that many times, you know, the son takes after his father and the daughter takes after her mother, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and that's true to a point. But when they get to be adults, they make their own decisions. And you have the perfect right as an adult to make your own decisions. One thing you don't get to choose is the consequences. But those are on you. You made that decision, so not my consequence. Don't you be blaming me for that. That's yours. Amen, Sarah?
Amen.
Yeah. I say that same thing. So, you know, beware, Rebecca. My daughter, she's, for those who might be visiting today, that's my daughter back there, and she's a sweetheart, but I just tease her a little bit there. The Bible reveals the origin of the home, and of course that's God. He's the originator. Number two, the Bible contains principles which are meant to safeguard the home. By the way, those are just three. There's many principles in the Word of God that relate to the home. Number three, the Bible speaks of the spiritual emphasis that's needed in the home. The spiritual emphasis. Would you go with me back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6? We are coming back to Ephesians, I promise. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 1. The spiritual emphasis. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. These first 9 verses of this chapter remind the people of God again about the spiritual emphasis that is so important to the home. The Bible makes it very clear that it is the responsibility of the parents to teach the principles of Scripture to their children. Verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Please notice it's not the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the elders of the church. Thou, mom and dad, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The Bible makes it very clear that it's the responsibility of the parents to teach the principles of Scripture to their children. It's to be done with diligence. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Pastor, what does that mean? Well, just an example. When it looks like the kids are getting tired of it, keep it up. When it looks like they're getting bored, keep it up. When it looks like they're balking at it and kind of pushing back against it, keep it up. Thou shalt teach them diligently. That means you got to be determined. You got to put forth some effort. This is to be done with diligence. It's also to be done in such a way that the child understands how the Bible can be used in both private and public life. Look at what it says here in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. That's kind of private, isn't it? And when thou walkest by the way. That's kind of public, isn't it? And when thou liest down and when thou risest up. So it's to be done both in private and in public. And it's to be done, this teaching of the scriptural principles, is to be done both morning, noon, and night. You know, when you rise up, when you lie down. Throughout the day, of course. And then if you notice verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. This goal is to produce in the family young people and people, mom and dad included, everyone in the home, to love God, to fear God, and for God to bless your home with prosperity and long life. So the Bible speaks about spiritual emphasis that's needed in the home. And whose responsibility is that? It's yours as the parents. It's your responsibility. Number one, the Bible reveals the origin of the home. Number two, the Bible contains principles which are meant to safeguard the home. Number three, the Bible speaks of the spiritual emphasis needed in the home. And then my last main thought today goes back to Ephesians 5. I told you we'd go back there, and we will. Ephesians 5, verses 18 and following. The Bible contains guidelines for wholesome, creative family relationships. Wholesome, creative family relationships. You notice it says here, there's counsel for those of us who are the parents. The Bible shows us here that we're responsible for our conduct toward God, our conduct toward our mate, our conduct toward our children. We are responsible for the training of our children in spiritual matters. You know, I encourage you this. I've encouraged a lot of couples this throughout the years. I want to encourage all of us here this morning. Watch for teachable moments. Watch for teachable moments. When you have children still in your home, or even you're with your grandchildren, watch for teachable moments. And as you see things come up, and things do come up, remind them of what the Bible says on X, Y, or Z, whatever that is. Teachable moments. very important. You're responsible as parents for that. This section of verses, Ephesians 5, verses 18 through chapter 6, verse 4, there's counsel in there for the wives. I realize in the day in which we're living, there's a whole lot of women that don't want to hear this, but the Bible says that the wife is supposed to be in submission to her husband. By the way, the Word of God has not changed. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Oh, Pastor, don't you realize what year it is? Yes, I certainly do. Which is why, again, I'm going to say the Bible has not changed. The wife is to be in submission to her husband. Now, before we drill down on that too much, would you notice verse 21? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Please notice that's before verse 22. Isn't that deep? Verse 21 is before verse 22. That is, tell you what, if you come to this church, you get some of the deep truths of the Word of God. But please notice, I'm having some fun with you this morning, but you notice it says in verse 21 that the husbands and wives are to be in submission to one another before it says the wife's supposed to be in submission to her husband. So, would you get this? I, as the husband, am supposed to serve Sarah, my wife, and she, as the wife, is supposed to serve me. If I serve her and she serves me, aren't both of our needs getting met? Sure. You know, there was a day, I've told you this before, but there was a day early in our marriage where I thought, well, bless God, I'm the man in our home. She's supposed to serve me. She's supposed to submit to me. Well, things weren't going real well at home. Yeah, I wonder why, right? And a wise pastor sought me down and he said, Mark, did you ever notice verse 21 is before verse 22? And when I saw that verse, I went, how stubborn and stupid was I? Because I'm supposed to also be in submission to her. I got to put her needs before mine. And she's supposed to put my needs before hers. We serve one another. We submit to one another in that way. And by the way, here's a little secret. When I started doing that, she found it a lot easier to submit herself to me. Now, you know this, and Sarah knows this. I'm a great husband. I hope you understand I'm having some fun today. But there's counsel here for the wives. I better move on. The wife is supposed to be in submission to her husband, and she's supposed to be there to love and support him and encourage him. And then there's counsel in here, of course, for the husbands. Did you notice that the Bible says that the husband is supposed to love his wife just like Jesus loved the church? You ready, men? That's a lot harder to do than just to say. Because if you're going to love your wife like Jesus loved the church, it means you're going to give your life for her. That's what Jesus did for us, did he not? He gave his life for us. Yeah, but she's really ornery. Have you ever been ornery? Yeah, but she doesn't always follow instructions. Have you always followed instructions? You know, I could give a lot of examples here. You and I as men are supposed to love our wives like Jesus loves the church. So he submitted himself to us. He gave himself on the cross. He gave his life for us. You and I are to love our wives like Jesus loved the church and do everything we can to love and support her. There's counsel here for parents. There's counsel here for wives. There's counsel here for husbands. Again, I'm referring to Ephesians chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 4. There's counsel here also for the children. In chapter 6, it says that the children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that, I think, is referring to when they're still living in the home. And then in verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that, I think, refers to when you're out of the home. So children are supposed to obey their parents when they're in the home. They're supposed to honor and respect their parents when they're out of the home. I don't think there's any time limit on that. I don't see any time limit on it anyway. You understand this morning that the Bible has a lot to say about the home? We've only just begun. But my time is gone. There's so much in the Bible about the home. The origin, of course, it started with God. The principles that are given are meant to safeguard the home. The spiritual emphasis is so important for the home. And then guidelines for wholesome, creative family relationships. So many times when the home is being split apart, we blame the devil. But so many times it's because we're just not following the principles that are laid down there in Ephesians. If we would follow those principles, the devil wouldn't have a foothold. Yeah, it's true. It's easy to blame the devil. How about looking in the mirror and blaming the devil you see? Did I say that out loud? I'll check the tape. I think I did. Seriously, folks, God has a lot to say about the home. And your home can be a whole lot more like heaven and a whole lot less like hell if you'll just follow the principles that are laid down in God's Word. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Father, thank you for this opportunity I've had this morning to talk a little bit about the home. There's so many more sermons that we could give today, but time limits that. And so these simple things that I've shared will have to be enough for today. Help us, Lord, to delve into the Scriptures and see what the Bible has to say about the home and do our best to follow those principles that are laid down for us there. Bless every husband here. Bless every wife here. Bless every father and mother and child who's here. And may we do our very best to make our home what you want it to be with your help. Bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.